I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I know that the Biden campaign, the Biden-Harris campaign, sees the support for abortion rights as a real asset for November. I have to note that in his 50 years in politics, and I've been covering him for, I don't know, 25 of them, Joe Biden has been all over the map on abortion. In 74, he said Roe v. Wade went too far and that a woman should not have, quote, the sole right to say what should happen to her body, unquote. That was a long time ago, of course. In 2006, he said, quote, I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. Just this year, he said, quote, I've never been supportive of, you know, it's my body, I can do what I want with it, unquote. By his own admission, Biden is an odd man out with his party on abortion.
Yeah, he's an odd man out, and in fact, an odd man, period. And an odd Catholic, if you're going to go down that lane. That was Jake Tapper calling out the obvious, and you know, I'm going to have to give Jake Tapper credit for being that direct on CNN, saying that Joe Biden waffles when it comes to abortion. And you know where the deciding factor for him is? Where are the most votes? No joke, man. Where are the most votes? He was a co-sponsor of the Hyde Amendment originally as a U.S. senator. No federal dollars to be spent on abortions. That was his staunch Catholic religion imposed statement, no federal dollars for abortion. Well, what if a woman needed one after an incest or rape? No federal dollars for an abortion. But it's kind of like Obama, and Obama admitted it, that he quote, evolved regarding homosexual marriages. He flat out admitted, he said, I was against it, but I've evolved. There's nothing wrong with evolving and changing your mind as time goes on. One, it might be your wisdom increases, or different factors come into play, sometimes a personal factor, sometimes now it involves one of your children, and maybe you need to find a way around it. But Joe Biden has been doing it for votes. That is not a very principled man. Have I done some things looking back that I probably should not have done? Yes, I have. But have I tried to convince others to do something 180 degrees from what I believe at any point? If there are any, and I'm going to concede, maybe I did at some point over something. But right now, I can't think of one. Doesn't mean I didn't. Evolution of a human spirit and thought process about a particular issue may take on contexts reaching as to what advances have been made in this field, reference science and so forth, what advances have been made in something else that would implicate it, and they all stand against the word of God in the Bible. And I've tried to have the attitude, as it says of the Bible, as for me and my family, we stand with God. But I know there are many times I have not. I'm a sinner in many ways. Joe Biden is a sinner if he says and accepts the Vatican rule that an abortion is wrong, and then he changes his mind. But that's not for me to judge, not even for you to judge. But when someone is doing it simply because they're going to get more votes, that kind of cynicism, that pandering, that's sickening. Sickening. All right, thanks for joining us for hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And, of course, reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I'm pointing at you right now. I'm pointing at you. You can watch us now or pull it up later as a podcast. Larry, I'm in the car listening. I can't watch now. Well, I understand. But you can pull up this hour later at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA .com, Larry Connors USA.com, and you're going to see, yep, he was pointing at me. Not just you, but everybody else too. And I also thank all of you who continue to watch, and then you push share and send it to others. That's a phenomenal way of spreading the word. I do want to take a moment again to thank Susie Moore, Deputy Assistant Editor of Red State, filling in for me yesterday. I always know the program is in good hands with Susie Moore in this chair. All right, so Tapper admits that Joe Biden is a creature of where's the best vote? What's going to be the best way for me to get more votes? How do I grab the golden ring? And, of course, we're hearing from the Biden White House and Biden himself all the time. If Donald Trump is elected, the whole world will come to an end because Donald Trump will be a dictator. Well, one of Trump's senior advisors was speaking about that point, Jason Miller.
Folks, this is Crooked Joe Biden's number one issue in the fall, that he is going to protect democracy against the horrors of President Trump and the MAGA Republicans. But if you notice, it's tied. Voters are onto it. And the fact that court today started off with the judge in this race threatening to jail President Trump, the former and future president of the United States. Eric, democracy is done in this country. Democrats have killed it. When you're going to go and try to lock up your political opposition, we're no better than a banana republic or third world country.
Now, again, that is a senior advisor for Donald Trump, Jason Miller. You'd expect him to say some of those things, obviously. And saying that Biden has destroyed democracy, and a perfect example is Donald Trump on trial right now. When everyone involved, even the Federal Elections Commission, if federal election dollars were supposedly sent to Stormy Daniel, which would be a violation, they look at the statute of limitations. They also look at the fact that it's too hard to present and prove. And they walked away from the case. Alvin Bragg, the current prosecutor, walked away from the case. It only became a live issue again when Donald Trump said he was going to run for the White House. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have that happen. We got to shut him down and shut him down now. So you tell me who's acting like a dictator. Well, let's continue that view with a report from MSNBC.
Probably the most troubling aspect of Project 2025 is its plan to grant Donald Trump unchecked power over the executive branch, potentially allowing him to weaponize it against his critics, including those in the media, who he constantly says he's going to target anyway. Project 2025 is ultimately a blueprint for a soft coup, one that replaces our age-old system of checks and balances with cronyism. What Trump couldn't achieve in his first term, Project 2025 seeks to facilitate by removing obstacles to his authority. This includes an active plan for purging the executive branch of any dissent by replacing longtime civil servants with those who pledge fealty to Trump.
Now, Project 2025, as I said in the previous hour, is pretty much a fabrication, but in the way they're treating it and the way they're proclaiming it. But there is some substance to it. Let me give you some of it. It is known as the Presidential Transition Project. It's a collection of policy proposals to thoroughly reshape the U.S. federal government in the event of a Republican victory in the 2024 U.S. election, as reported by Wikipedia. The background, the Heritage Foundation did publish new editions in Mandate for Leadership. And Project 2025's advisory board consists of a board coalition of over 80 conservative organizations, mainly think tanks, conservative think tanks, and several universities, and the magazine, The American Conservatives. Don Ayer, the deputy attorney general under George H.W. Bush, said Project 2025 seems to be full of a whole array of ideas designed to let Donald Trump function as a dictator forever, basically. Now, that's when things began to go awry. The Project 2025 transition does call for a conservative victory through policy, personnel, and training. I don't like it if you want to say it is going to be a dictatorship in creating that. But what was Project Woke? Project Woke was to dismantle every federal agency and take children away from their parents and hide information from their parents. I don't like that either. Bottom line is they just know that this is something they can grab hold of. The 2025 presidential project, transition project, has four policy pillars: a policy agenda, building on the legacy of mandate for leadership, personal database, comprehensive policy agenda with limited impact, without the right people in place, with the right people in place to implement it, or it would have only limited without the right people in place. Training to turn this talent pool into effective conservative administrators. 180-day playbook. So conservatives want to create a playbook of action to be taken in the first 180 days to get Americans out from under the left's devastating policies, such as gas stoves, no more gas cars, fossil fuels come to an end, things of that nature. I don't really see in there an actual dictatorship. I see trying to get America back on course. But I'll leave it to you and your opinion. We did mention in the last hour, and it bears reporting again, that we're watching more and more cases lately where the handlers around Joe Biden are trying to shorten anything he says to minimize any mistake he might make.
We have news this morning from NBC News that the campaign is looking to shorten its speeches. Biden's general election strategy is less is more. The president's aides are seeking to tighten his pitch to voters with shorter, crisper speeches. To be honest with you, Quentin, I think that's a very smart idea. I think
for everyone.
I appreciate that approach because it is a way for the president to sort of hit with clarity, stick his points and move on and not get lost and sidetracked. Give us a little bit more of the scene setting around the thinking there and trying to reimagine the campaign going forward with what you just said and this idea now of the president tighten his grip on his speeches.
Look, our campaign believes in quality over quantity. We believe that these touches, these smaller things that are getting directly to the point about what is going on in the stakes of this election are going to be easier for voters to tap into and sort of also go out and say and talk to their friends and family about what's at stake.
Well, it would give them the opportunity, provided anyone's willing to listen. But they do want to shorten Joe Biden on anything he's saying. Let's try to keep him contained more. Questions and more questions about who is funding all these campus rallies and other actions. We know in many cases, we know exactly who's been responsible for it. And in fact, even some of the major networks are now acknowledging that they know that there are Joe Biden supporters behind all of it, like the anti-Israeli campus protesters basically funded by various Biden donors, and they're there for one sole purpose, and that is to fund more activities in support of Hamas.
Politico has a story out this morning noting that a lot of the multimillionaires and billionaires funding the most explicitly anti-Israel groups, ones that think Israel has no right to exist, that are active on campuses, that these groups are funded by big Biden donors, the Pritzkers, the Gateses, George Soros, David Rockefeller Jr. Should they stop funding these groups? Are they causing unrest for the American people?
Well, let me say this. I think that everybody, as the president has said, needs to kind of get focused in on the very core principles of what our Constitution allows and what our Constitution protects. And that is this. Everybody has a right to protest, but they have to protest peacefully. If they're protesting violently, that has to end. There's no place for that. There's no place for anti-Semitism. There's no place for Islamophobia.
And in fact, today, Joe Biden was making remarks about that and said, in the process of condemning anti-Semitism, both in the U.S. and around the world, he talked about the hatred toward Jews, and he described a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism in the U.S. following October 7. We all know and recognize that. But when you see the tents at some of these rallies, many of them are marked UAW, by the way. Now, I don't know how Jewish workers working for the UAW feel about that, or even other rank-and-file members of UAW. But Biden said, we need to forcefully address and stand against anti-Semitism and all sorts of hope. He also had said, you draw a line in the sand, you don't draw a swastika, a German sign, obviously. And in the meantime, Israel, according to the State Department, is committed to reopening one of the crossings for more humanitarian aid to get in. This is the Kerem Shalom crossing. They've opened that. They're working to make sure that the humanitarian assistance not only gets in, but gets to the right people. That's the biggest issue. The biggest issue is who's going to get it? Are the people in need, or is it going to go Hamas? That very facility that they opened is the one that got hit by 10 rockets, killing 3 Israeli soldiers, an attack claimed by Hamas. That's why Israel closed it. So when Hamas is saying, and the students in the streets are yelling, there's no aid, people are starving and dying, it's because Hamas was targeting one of the entrances they were delivering humanitarian aid. Think they care about the facts? Israel is, of course, carrying out its operation in Rafah, at this time saying it's very limited. But, of course, they say that depends on what happens next. They're reporting at least 30 dead. That includes 9 children, which is unfortunate. Coming up, more on Joe Biden and what he had to say, reference the Holocaust and where we stand today in this nation. Joe Biden, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
During these sacred days of remembrance, we grieve, we give voice to the 6 million Jews who were systematically targeted and murdered by the Nazis and their collaborators during World War II. We honor the memory of victims, the pain of survivors, the bravery of heroes who stood up to Hitler's unspeakable evil. And we recommit to heading and heeding the lessons that one of the darkest chapters in human history to revitalize and realize the responsibility of never again. Never again, simply translated for me, means never forget. Never forget.
Never forget, never forget. But Joe Biden, even while he's taking time to honor the Holocaust, and stating that anti-Semitism has no place in America, he's not calling out members of his own party who have gone along with the hatred for Israel, the hatred for Jews, the hatred for America. Stood up there today issuing a call to fight a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism, as it's described by CNN. The speech was a somber yet impassioned moment of reflection amidst a tense and pivotal time in his reelection push. That phrase right there, in his reelection push. If we were not in the midst of the political election season, what would we be hearing from Joe Biden on this issue? We already know what Chuck Schumer did, although in the midst of the political season as well, but not directly affected, when he needed money and demanded it. We needed ASAP, $15 billion for Israel after October 7. And immediately Speaker House Johnson cobbled together $14.5 to $15 billion, said, "Here it is, sir. We got it for you." And Chuck Schumer sniffed at it and said, "There's no money for Ukraine in here. You said you wanted money for Israel. And now you're going to reject it because it doesn't have money for Ukraine in it?" I told you earlier, according to Politico, we have in this nation has held back materials for Israel for its fight for the last 2 weeks. I don't see a commitment to Israel like that. Oh, we were all about rushing more money and aid to Ukraine. And we could have that debate some other day, but just deal with Israel for a moment. Our closest, our only ally in the Middle East. And we just can't seem to figure out how to get munitions and other things they need. Oh, we can, but we're holding it. And we're admittedly holding it, according to Politico. The Biden administration is intentionally holding it back because it doesn't like the way Israel is conducting the war against Hamas. That did not stop Israel from going in to Rafah. And as I said in the closing segments of the last piece we had, 30 plus dead as they try to carry out limited, 30 civilians, including women, and at least 9 children. Israelis didn't go in to kill women and children. They were after Hamas. But today in this speech, just in time for the re-election push, Biden is strident and clear, he thinks. We must give hate no safe harbor against anyone. And yet, he has not made calls to those university presidents. He has not taken action in saying, you've got to put a stop to this hate on your campus. He's just basically letting the course carry its way. He can make all the speeches he wants, but if you're not going to take action, solid action, action that confirms your words, you know the saying, you're just whistling past the graveyard, or no sound whatsoever, tree falling in the forest. Joe Biden did, though, want to make clear to everyone. He said, even though we disagree with how Israel's carrying out its war, as if we should tell Israel how to do it, he said, I stand with the Jews.
To the Jewish community, I want you to know, I see your fear, your hurt, and your pain. Let me reassure you, as your president, you're not alone. You belong. You always have and you always will. And my commitment to the safety of the Jewish people, the security of Israel, and its right to exist as an independent Jewish state is ironclad, even when we disagree. My administration is working around the clock to free remaining hostages, just as we have freed hostages already. And we'll not rest until we bring them all home. My administration, with our second gentleman's leadership, has launched our nation's first national security strategy to counter anti-Semitism that's mobilizing the full force of the federal government to protect Jewish communities. But we know this is not the work of government alone or Jews alone. That's why I'm calling on all Americans to stand united against anti-Semitism and hate in all its forms.
Does that also include your anti-Semitic, Jew-hating members of Congress? I'm just asking. My answer, I think, I already know. I don't want to talk about it. He pointed out that here we are, not 75 years later, just 7.5 months later, and people are already forgetting what's happening. They're forgetting what Hamas unleashed. I've not forgotten, nor have you. We will not forget. That is what they're not seeing and saying on the campuses. That's not what they're saying at all. They're talking about Hamas didn't do this, Israel did it. This, of course, was his keynote address at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's annual Days of Remembrance at the Capitol. And he pointed out a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism in the U.S. after October 7, from propaganda on social media to Jewish students being harassed on campus. But he did not call out members of his own party, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of the squad, who say Hamas is in the right and the PLO is doing this and Hamas is doing it because the Jews are oppressors, not the other way around. What did Biden have to say about campuses?
I understand people have strong beliefs and deep convictions about the world. In America, we respect and protect the fundamental right to free speech, to debate and disagree, to protest peacefully, and make our voices heard. I understand that's America, but there is no place on any campus in America, any place in America, for anti-Semitism or hate speech or threats of violence of any kind.
You could say it all day long, but until you back it up and you show that you're doing everything you can to help Israel, you are part of the problem. Joe Biden may not utter an anti-Semitic remark, but if you're not helping them, you're against them. And right now we're withholding and have for the last 2 weeks equipment, munitions, whatever Israel needs. And the White House will not clear it because they want to make sure that Israel fights the war we think they should. We know and understand the situation. I'll give you the situation very clearly. The Russians invaded Crimea during Obama's administration. The Russians invaded Ukraine during Biden's administration. Hamas carried out its attacks during the Biden administration. What would have happened? How many lives would still be existing if Trump had been able to continue 4 years? Would all of this have happened? You can't say for sure one way or the other, but I suspect no. Coming up, Kevin O'Leary on giving student forgiveness on their loans.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle. And Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
Alone. I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone, I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm already on the record on this, and I'm against this. I'm against all of these loan forgiveness because it's unfair. It's un-American. What happens if you did not go to college because you couldn't afford it five cohorts ago? Or what about the cohorts in the future? They're not going to get off this easy. No one will be able to afford it. This is completely un-American. It's totally unfair. Say you fought in a war and you were a veteran and you're starting from scratch coming back home. And you have to take on debt as a student. You're not forgiven because you missed this freebie coupon opportunity. This is completely unfair. That's why it shouldn't happen. Biden or any president, it's not about the presidency. It's about the fact that in all the cohorts over generations in America have been taught you've got to pay your debts.
Right.
That's how we operate this economy.
Right.
This is totally unfair and un-American.
Totally unfair, un-American. And yet, that's what we're apparently going to be doing, right? That is Kevin O'Leary with the O'Leary Fund Management, also a member of Shark Tank, considered the grouch, but also many say he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever know in the business. Let's talk about these student loan things a moment. I know many of you, maybe some of you are going to benefit from it. Or your children. Let me read you a couple headlines here. This is direct out of the government. Dateline, February 21. Biden-Harris administration approves $1.2 billion in loan forgiveness for more than 150,000 SAVE plan borrowers. SAVE plan is some of those who have, I guess, all borrowers on the SAVE plan that were apparently involved in saving something. I couldn't even begin to go through the small print here. But they're going to get emails from Biden as of Feb 21 telling them they are approved for forgiveness, will not need to take any additional action to receive relief. So there was $1.2 billion for 150,000. Dateline again was Feb 21. Well, I've got another dateline for you. 2 months later, new plans to deliver debt relief to tens of millions of Americans. And this time, the total is well above that. The Biden administration with new plans for tens of millions of borrowers. It would include over debt relief for over 30 million, including 4 million already approved for debt cancellation over the past 3 years. 22 billion for more than 1.3 million who might have been, quote, cheated by their schools. I don't know what they mean by that. It means that the kids weren't going to school or the kids were actually not given the education. Well, my God, how many schools are not providing the education you would expect to get? I guess we could look right now at the Poison Ivy League colleges. Kevin O'Leary's right. How many times are you going to do this? This is wrong. You didn't go to college. You couldn't afford it. But you will pay for someone else to go. Or you went and you paid off your loan. But now you're stupid. You're stupid. You got a degree to be stupid because now comes this plan. You don't have to pay that off. No big deal. It's like any other debt you sign. No big deal. You don't have to pay it off. You try that on anything else and they'll come take an item away from you, obviously. This idea that what they're doing, obviously, behind the scenes is buying votes. Now, out and out paying money to someone to go vote for someone else, that's against the law. But if you do it in this fashion, hey, I got my money resolved. I don't have the money problem. Thank you, Joe Biden. But I also have to ask, how many of them that were not going to pay the loan, not even trying to, are going to go ahead and not bother voting? I don't think it's necessarily going to help them. I want to turn back the attention for a few moments to this issue that we've got all of this aid that is currently being kept from Israel, but more importantly, New York Congressman Stefanik says, this administration, you take the student loans we just discussed, you take the way he's handled the campus rallies, you take what he's done with Israel, you take what he did with Afghanistan, you put it all in a pot, and you don't have a very tasty stew. New York Congresswoman Stefanik.
Under the failed far-left Democrat leadership of Joe Biden, our country is unrecognizable and the American people know it. Once acclaimed, colleges and universities have turned into chaos, fallen to brainwashed anti-Semitic groupthink, canceling commencements. Instead of protecting Jewish students, Joe Biden has pandered to the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. And campus leadership has shamefully followed suit, negotiating with these pro-Hamas terrorists and submitting to their demands, following Joe Biden's pattern of appeasement. These apologists for the anti-Semitic mob have turned the Democrat Party into the party of pro-Hamas, a party that defends calls for death to America heard across American campuses. As we laid out last week, House Republicans, under the leadership of Speaker Mike Johnson, are taking action. As part of this conference-wide investigation, we have two major hearings this week. The Oversight Committee is bringing Mayor Bowser and D.C. Chief of Police before Congress for answers regarding the anti-Semitic mob at GW's campus. And the Education and Workforce Committee will address anti-Semitism in K through 12 schools. These schools must be held accountable. House Republicans will use every tool available to end this scourge of anti-Semitism that is destroying American education.
And you know what? There would not even be a whimper of complaint from the left if it involved you're mistreating black students because of the color of their skin. Nor should there be. That should not happen. But because their religion is different, maybe a minority, quote, religion. Maybe in some areas Muslims are minority. And I don't want them attacked and ostracized either. That's not what the nation was founded on. It was founded on everyone is equal. Has it always been that way? No. Unfortunately not. But when Joe Biden today at the National Holocaust Memorial was talking about, we cannot forget, we must remember this, we must keep it fresh in us. The Jewish faith has made a very big effort to make sure it's right in front of you with their Holocaust Museum. Now, we have torn down Civil War generals and statues. Did that improve anyone's race relations? No. Did it change or make anyone's lives better? No. But we wiped out a part of history, a dark part of history, But these men were doing what they thought they should at that point. Doesn't mean they were right, but it is part of the history. Are we going to reach a point where some say, tear down the Holocaust Museum? We don't want to be reminded of that. We don't even believe it happened. There are those who don't believe it. And they want to accuse conservatives of, quote, book banning and book burning. Any book that is denied, like in the state of Florida for its public schools, is based on age appropriate. The book's available. No one's burning and collecting them in the streets. You go to any bookstore or maybe in some other part of the library, public or school, that book might be available for certain ages. It's as simple as that. And the idiocy on the other side is that they know it. They understand age appropriate, but they want to brush right past it. Or it's a good way to start grooming children. They don't have an issue with that whatsoever. I'm glad Stefanik mentioned how they're going to have a hearing with D.C. Mayor Bowser, because the latest numbers show the nation's capital, where you would expect to be the safest, suffered a 39% increase last year. But Mayor Bowser says, hey, you're not giving us fair attention.
I think that's really a question for our friends in the media. I know you all have been waiting. You didn't report that we had like over a week where violence was down, homicide didn't happen. I know you didn't report that, but that's okay. I'll tell you.
We had a week where we didn't have anybody murdered in D.C. That shouldn't be news. That should be the norm. And you wouldn't have a week of violence. That should be the norm. I just told you the latest numbers show, while other major cities saw a drop in violent crimes, the nation's capital suffered a 39% increase last year. You're not good at math. I'm not so good either. But let's take it and look at it this way. It's a large pie. You can understand a big pie, right? If you cut it in half, you know how to cut in half, right? Okay. Well, almost that much is what crime went up. You know 39%, so do I, and they know it. Here's as it is written as by CNN. Homicides, carjackings, robberies across Washington, D.C., have affected prominent politicians and regular residents alike, leaving many in the nation's capital fearful of the rising crime. See, if it's just the poor and the needy and those on the streets, no big deal. But when you start hitting politicians and their inner circles, suddenly, we're concerned. But it goes deeper than that. They point out this last Saturday. What were you doing this last Saturday? Well, this last Saturday, a former Trump official, Mike Gill, died in the hospital. Days earlier, he was shot in his car while waiting for his wife to leave work in an area that has a lot of ritzy hotels and shops a few blocks from the White House. Just blocks from the White House, where we have the most secure protection for the president. But the common citizen waiting to pick up his wife outside a nice hotel, very nice shops all around, probably has to be a Starbucks nearby. Someone comes on and shoots him, and he died Saturday. Last year, Congresswoman Angie Craig of Minnesota was attacked in her apartment building. Months before, three gunmen took aim at Congressman Henry Cuellar outside his D.C. home. They didn't shoot, thank goodness, but they stole his car, phone, and other belongings. By the way, back to the case of Gill, former Trump official who was shot while waiting for his wife. It turns out, according to investigators, the man who shot Gill then left the downtown D.C. area, went to another part of town, another busy neighborhood, again, luxury apartments, upscale businesses, and accosted a driver, according to police. The gunman demanded the keys, shot the man, and then drove off. This victim, Alberto Vasquez, a hardworking man just trying to make a living, a father of two young girls, died in the hospital. His parents did an interview with CNN and stated he probably did that 1,000 times, talking about Gil, to just go pick his wife up. Until someone can explain to me that this can't be prevented, it just doesn't make any sense. And Alberto Vasquez's mother stated she has limited her other son from coming to the U.S. Capitol. We don't want to lose him. We're afraid. We're terrified. AJ was not of the streets. He was not a criminal. A good man, a good father, a good brother, an awesome son. And now we no longer have any of that. Metropolitan Police in D.C. show already 57 carjackings in D.C. so far this year, 30 of them involving firearms. D.C., the nation's capital, walk in fear. Remember our pledge, one nation in God.